This morning, I want to really talk about something that was probably one of the first things I learned when I got into the Word. At least I thought I learned it when I got into the Word. Actually, I heard it. And I probably have, over the last 3 months, been studying this Word and realized how much there is to this Word. And so I'm going to teach something today that hopefully will expound your understanding of grace. What is grace? Who can give me a little definition of grace? Unmerited favor. What does that mean? Excuse me? Not earned. Okay. Anybody else got anything? Shelley? Yep. It's another way to say that's pretty plain, huh, Gabe? God, that probably is more plain for Gabe because, unmerited favor. Gabe's going, what the fuck, unmerited favor? God does something for you. You don't deserve it. Yep. That's part of grace. All of these things you're saying are true. Those are all aspects of grace. But one of the things I've seen lately studying the word grace has expounded my understanding. And the word grace that we're going to look at, because there's different words, we're going to look at the one that's the Greek word, charis, which means graciousness of manner or acts. Okay, now think about that. Graciousness of manners or acts, figuratively or spiritually. Here we go. Especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life. Who gives us divine influences? God. So grace is the divine influence of God upon the heart. And, okay, here you go. Its reflection in one's life. Think about that. See, I had this idea of grace. I had nothing to do with it. I have nothing to do with grace. God's unmerited favor to me. Yay. But if you listen to this definition, which comes from the Strong Concordance, it's not hidden. I didn't go to deep caverns to find this. It says, and its reflection in one's life. Whose life? The person who's receiving the grace. This is God's influence on our heart, and it's reflected in the acts and manners in which we live. So do I have something to do with grace? Yeah, not in receiving it, but in living it. Now, doesn't that put a little different twist on it to you? I mean, it did to me. Maybe you guys all figured this out years ago, not me. I was just too busy being grace. I'm grace. Yeah, when I blow it, I don't get in trouble. Yay. Oh, it is so much bigger than that. God's love is so much bigger than that. And the reflections that we should see in our lives include grace in our own life towards others. It includes gratitude. It includes favor. It includes joy. This is all part of the definition. Liberality, pleasure, thankfulness, and worthiness. Worthiness, or being worthy, or deeming someone worthy. When I think of God's influence upon my heart, He influences me to do all those great and wonderful things that I can do because of that Holy Spirit that lives within me. You know, we got grace when we got the package of Holy Spirit. Didn't have grace before that. What we had was mercy, withheld judgment that we deserved. But grace is something that came because of Jesus Christ. That's why we got it. When we got born again in God's Spirit, grace was part of that package. Grace, because of the influence of God upon our hearts and the reflections of that influence in our life, is literally God's ability in me to do the things that God has called me to do because I can't do them on my own. None of us can do anything without God. Now, many people think they can, but we really can't. But you know what? There are things that can't happen unless we do them, because God's worked within us to do them. So it's a partnership. Do you understand? Walking in grace with God is a partnership with God. It says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we are workers together with him. You know, a lot of people say you can't earn grace. Well, you can't earn grace. But what you have to do is you have to be obedient when God works within your heart. That's our part of walking grace. That's how we allow God's influence in our heart to be reflected in our life. Isn't that cool? Now, think of the things that God would work in your heart to do. Anything bad going through anybody's mind? Nope. Now, who has to allow God to work in their heart? The individual. And then we have to make the decision to listen to the things that God is working within our heart and to walk out with the knowledge that what we're doing, as we're obedient to what God tells us to do, is a reflection of God's working in our heart. And you know what? That draws people. That's light. When you see God's influence in my life, I'm shining. Not because of me, because of him. But I'm allowing that influence to direct my path so I can shine with his ability within me. Get it? So grace is a lot bigger than what I used to think it was. Wow, sure, grace out. Wow, God covered that. Thank you. And it's interesting, too, because it is really not used that many times in the Old Testament, if you look it up. But in the New Testament, it's all over the place. And that's because the grace you and I have and experience and can live comes with Jesus Christ. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 2. It says in verse 40, and the child, Christ, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and with the grace of and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus Christ had the grace of God upon him. He was a child, and he had to grow in wisdom and stature. He had to learn to walk with the Father. He had grace upon him. Grace is something that we all need in our lives, and it allows us to do the things that God calls us to do, because it gives us his ability within us so we can do it. Now, God's never going to tell you to do something you can't do. How many of you think or have thought at times that God's asking you to do something, I just can't do it? Okay, who's honest? I've thought that at times. Are you kidding me, God? Okay, are you kidding me? You really want, God, I can't do that. And yet God says, you can do that. But God, that's, have you ever had these conversations with God? It reminds me of Moses, when Moses was called out. Every time God, I want you to do it. Well, I can't talk right. Well, then I'll do this for you. I'll give you this guy. See, it's always been with man and God a partnership. It's always been a relationship that includes both parties working together. And grace does not eliminate that. Grace is not about working our way into heaven. Grace is about God's ability within us ministering and doing the things and being victorious like God tells us we can be, because we have the heart of willing obedience. It's not just changing your mind and bearing and grinning it. It never works out best when you do that. Done it? Doesn't work that well. Have to regroup and go back and have the willingness to say, okay, Father, whatever it is you called me to do and asked me to do, I believe I can do it because you're working within me. And you give me that ability. It's never about us, but we're always involved. Do you get that? It's never about us, but we're always involved. And we're always involved one way or the other. Right? God's way or the world's way. You're serving somebody. You're doing it somehow. There is no fence to set on. It's a wonderful thing to have grace, but it's even greater to understand that grace allows you to do what God has called you to do. Look at John 1. Just want you to see that this grace we have came by way of Jesus Christ. That's the point here. John 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of this, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians. See, this is the part that we didn't earn. But once we have it, then we have a responsibility to walk in it. It's like once we have Holy Spirit, then we have a responsibility to operate it. Now, we don't have to because God is a very loving God and he's not going to overstep our free will. But man, oh man, oh man, don't think for 1 minute he's not up there, your biggest cheerleader. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Look, I said you can do it. Trust me, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Move, move, move. Change your mind, change your mind. Sure he is. And Jesus Christ is sitting right next to him going, hey, dude, you have Christ in me. You know, come on. Okay, probably he didn't say, hey, dude, but you know what I mean? I mean, he's up there. They are cheering. They are ready to supply and give their part of it. We have to be ready to give our part. 1 Corinthians, did I say? Well, let's just start in verse 3. Grace, I'm sorry, 1. Chapter 1, did I say chapter 1? I didn't say it. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Everybody there? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Grace enables us to do the things that God calls us to do. Obedience to God and his word is part of a Christian walk. And to be honest with you, as far as the fruit you're going to produce in your life here, the quality of your ministry, the quality of your ability to love and serve is going to depend upon your willingness to obey. We all are born again in God's Spirit. And no matter what we do today, you could walk out that door and never come back to a fellowship. And you're going to go to heaven and you're going to have rewards. But what is your life on earth going to be like if you're not living and loving and serving in the body of Christ, which the last time I checked in my life was not my idea. It was his idea. And I learned a long time ago. First, I learned arguing with my parents, my earthly parents, really didn't do that much good. Because normally my dad knew how to draw the line lovingly but firmly. And then as I grew older and became more responsible for the things I should be doing and shouldn't be doing, I had learned from him how to be responsible because he drew the line for me. So I grew up with the mind, in my mind, responsibility for my actions, because that's something he taught us. When you get born again in God's Spirit, we have a responsibility to our Heavenly Father. Look at what he's done for us. I sat there thinking about that the other day. What God has done for us. I mean, make a list. Katie did a really great teaching at our fellowship. These guys can teach the word, you other fellowship coordinators. So I'm sure anytime you want to invite them to teach, they would be blessed to teach. I just volunteered all of you. Okay, so there you go. But you know what? He has done so much for us. By grace, we're saved. Right? We have eternal life. We have rewards. We have healing. We have joy. We have peace. We have spiritual understanding. We can discern truth from error. We can operate 9 manifestations all the time in our lives. We can raise people from the dead. We can find a secret place and just talk to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We can talk to God. Do you understand the depth of that? Grace allowed that to happen. First, God's ability working in Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, if Jesus Christ would have said to him at the garden, okay, I've done a lot of things, God, and I've been cool about it, but this one, I'm checking out. You got to figure out another way. Because I can't see myself. I can't see myself doing this. Well, you know what? He couldn't see himself doing it. If you think about his prayer, what did he say? Not my will, but thou will be done. And you know what? It was at that point that God literally showed him what he was about to accomplish. He gave him whatever he needed to get him through that moment of doubt. Now that power to push yourself beyond the comprehensible thing that you don't think you can do lies within each and every one of us. Sometimes we have to do things that aren't so pleasant. But most of the time, the things that God asks us to do are really a lot of fun. And when we do them with our heart right, thinking the way God directs us to think about others, and looking to him and Jesus Christ to get us to the point where he's asked us to go, guess what? It's a blast. It's pleasurable. You know, all the physical setup and all the things that we do are like this big compared to all the joy and the love we receive from doing it by the believers. Because you're blessed. That's grace. That's God's influence in our lives. That's God's ability allowing us to do what he's called us to do. Look at Ephesians 1. See, God's ability working in our life, it really works in any category of our life. Giving, prayer, ministering, speaking the word, loving, allowing someone to grace out that's hurt you without even apologizing to you. What? You can forgive someone. They don't have to apologize to you. Not dependent upon them apologizing. Is it nice when someone's hurt you and they say, I'm really sorry I hurt you? I feel bad. I didn't mean to do that. Sure. But do you have to wait for that to enjoy the joy of God, the peace of God? Nah. See, God works in us to will to do of his good pleasure. And as long as I'm allowing God to work within me to will to do of his good pleasure, as long as I'm allowing him to influence my heart, the reflections of his joy and peace are going to be in my life. It doesn't matter what anybody else says or does. Do you think it mattered to Jesus Christ in the garden that those guys betrayed him, that Judas betrayed him, and that Peter denied him? Do you think that stopped him? Because he knew what God needed him to do, and he had a humble and obedient heart to do it. And he knew that with God, he could do it. Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Whose grace? God's grace. And what is his grace? It's his influence upon our hearts. And the reflection of that influence in our lives. That's what God's grace is lived. Yes, it's merited favor. It's all those things we talked about. But it is so much bigger than that. We can live it so much more fully than I graced out. Or, man, I'm glad there's grace because I didn't know I was going to get myself in this bind. That's great. We have that. But it's so much bigger than that. Let it be bigger in your life. Understand what it is. We're talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. His influence on your heart. His influence on your heart. Now you're going to know if you're really allowing him to influence your heart pretty quickly by looking at the reflections in your life. And so is somebody else. Not to judge, but to encourage ourselves to get sharper, to do it better, to ask, okay, show me how to work tighter with you. Because isn't that what we all want, a tighter relationship with God? So man, when the devil tries to sneak a counterfeit in there, nope, out. We got it. We see it. You know why? Because God showed me. That's why. And I ain't falling for that. Nope, out. Man, our lives would be so much more simple, wouldn't they? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. That's why I started studying this. Because I read that verse one time, the riches of his grace. Okay, grace is unmerited favor. I mean, that's it. That's rich. No. It doesn't say, it says the riches, plural, of his grace. That's what started me looking at it. And man, I tell you, I saw some really cool stuff. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I saw this definition jump out at me. And at that point, man, it was amazing what God showed me from his word about this wonderful word called grace. This is something we know already. Ephesians 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, have to give me a minute here. I left my reading glasses at home, so I had, when I look at you and then I look down, my eye has to focus. So. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he hath loved us, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By grace we are saved. That in itself is huge. But why did God do that? Why did God save us with his grace? So that we could walk in his grace. So that we could manifest his ability within our lives. Jesus Christ, grace came by Jesus Christ. It was freely given. But you know what? We have a responsibility. Look at Romans chapter 5. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. God never oversteps what? Freedom of will. Never, ever, ever will he overstep your freedom of will. Look at Romans chapter 5, start verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance receive what? Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, how many? Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of how many? Shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that verse of scripture, you know what it reminded me of when I read that? Grace much more abounded. Think of the children of Israel. How many times did God get them out of the soup? How many times did his abundant grace change the course of their lives? Once they woke up and turned back to God and started listening. Abundance of grace. Now, how many times in your life have you started your day outside of God's will? And I don't mean you got up like, you know, shot somebody or, you know, cursed and kicked the farm. Or just woke up and said, life sucks. Hey, okay, maybe that term you wouldn't use. Maybe you would use, you know what? I don't want to face another day. You know what? My life is not all that great. I need this. I wonder where we're going to get this. I wonder how we're going to do this. And yet God's abundance of grace, you're sitting here today. All of you look pretty healthy. Got to tell you, no one looks like they're starving. I think everybody has a roof over their head, right? Most people have jobs, and if you don't, you will soon, if that's your desire. We have so much grace in our lives. Let's don't forget that abundance of grace. God has done so much for us. And you know what? He needs us to do what he calls us to do. He really needs us to do what he calls us to do. Look at verse chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We have grace without sin. Remember? Because grace isn't just God's unmerited judgment. Grace isn't just God's merited favor. It's his influence in our lives. And that he tries to do every moment of every day. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, okay, ready? Knowing this, that our old man, the pukey guy that wants to tell us our life ain't worth it, or so-and-so did this to me, or, well, I just don't agree with that, or, well, I mean, any negative thought you can come up with. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what? For he that is dead is free from. You mean I don't have to think that way? No. We can reckon the old man dead because of the grace, because of God's influence and God's ability on our hearts. God's after our hearts. He cares nothing about this flesh. He's after our hearts. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead and dead, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto who? As those that are alive. We're alive. We have eternal life, you guys. Let that sink in. We are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to live unto God. We need to allow this grace that God has placed within our lives, this influence on our hearts. He influences our heart. How does he do that? How does he influence your heart, Nathan? Anybody got an idea how God can influence your heart, Dan? The spirit that is within us. He energizes that spirit. What else? Excuse me? Through his word. His word. How do we know God? How do we know his will for our lives? Through his word. That's one of the greatest ways he influences us. It's through the written word of God. And then the spirit that works within us works together with that knowledge of the word of God. That is grace, people. That is grace. Who are we not to listen? Stupid. Yep. If we don't listen, we're pretty stupid. And I don't think God really wants us to think people with his spirit in them are stupid. Because we're not. Sometimes we're disobedient. Sometimes we're stubborn and stiff-necked. But you know what? That's where mercy comes in. God just steps back what we should have, what we do deserve when we're like that, and goes, mm-mm. This one's mine. I'm working in their heart. Come on, you can come around. Come on, he'll do something else. You know, he worked with, think of Moses. If you guys read Moses, I know some of you are, because I've talked about it recently, but read that account of Moses, man. It did not matter what objection Moses had. God always had a solution. Hello, he's a servant. We're his son. You think he's got a solution for your problem? Your dilemma? Let's go. I tell you, there's some other great verses, but I want to go close in 1 Peter. You know, it says in Timothy, which I think is a great verse for everybody, not just leaders, not just overseers, or whatever you want to call us. 1 Peter chapter 5 is where we're going. But it says in 2 Timothy 2, it says that we are to be strong in the grace. We're to be strong in grace towards one another. You know how you can be strong in grace towards someone? Encourage them to allow God to influence their heart. Give them room to grow with the Father. Always listen to what comes out of your mouth before it comes out. Because once you speak it, you can't take it back. Even sarcasm sometimes. Not sometimes. Sarcasm anytime can hurt people. And some of us have personalities where we joke around more than others. That would be me. But I don't mean for it to be hurtful to anyone. But when it happens, then it's my responsibility to take care of that person's heart, because that wasn't my intent. You allow, if I've hurt you in a situation like that, you allowing me to take care of that is your grace being manifested towards me. That's one way we can do it. This thing called grace is so huge and so big. I really can't explain it to the depths that I feel it and understand it in my own heart, but God can show it to you in the way he needs to show it to you so you can understand it even greater. Because I'm telling you, if we walked in grace towards one another, the fighting, the little silly bickering, the things that, well, he, it would mean nothing. There would be no division. Grace is huge. Parents, you want to influence your children's life, right? Influence it with the things that God has influenced your life with. You want to train your children to grow up, to be great men and women, to be productive people in our society, to know how to love and give and serve. Influence them with the things that God has influenced your heart with. And it will be a reflection in their life. First, and you know that other part in Timothy I thought was really interesting, that grace was used there, that we were to be strong in the grace. The next verse is about teaching faithful men to be faithful, to teach the word. Got to have a lot of grace to do that. Okay, 1 Peter. This is cool. Because God tells us exactly how to do this, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know, before everybody young starts moaning, just hold on. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, why? Why does God tell the younger to submit to the elders and then all of us to submit to one another? Why? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now think about our definition. God's influence upon a man's heart. Can God influence someone who is stubborn, stiff-necked? Even milder than that. I think maybe this way is better for me. Can God influence your life very much if that's your mind? That's your attitude? No. So you know what he tells us? God's so great. He tells us exactly how to do this. And simply, is there anybody who doesn't understand? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Anybody have an understanding problem with that one? Okay, so we understand it. Now the key is getting our heads to allow God to have such an influence on our heart that we say, okay, God, here am I. Whatever you want me to do, I'm ready. And you know what, God? You don't even have to show me the whole picture. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was involved in a situation, and I said, well, did you ask God? Well, no. And they said, well, why don't you just ask God? Well, I don't know if I'm going to like what he's going to say. And I just started laughing. I said, aha. So there's already doubt in your own mind that your decision was right. Well, yeah, I guess so. But it's something I really want to do. I said, okay, well, why don't you talk to God about it? Maybe you're going about it the wrong way. Maybe it's not that you shouldn't do it. Maybe it's timing. Maybe it's going to hurt you in some way or take from you. So God really doesn't want you to have to go through that. So why don't you talk it over with him? And he'll give you step by step. And it was funny because I'd been talking to somebody else about the Moses account. So when I said he'll give you step by step, she said, but I like to see the whole thing. And I said, well, don't we all? But that's not how God works all the time. That's the key about humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, is you have to wait for God. You know, the children of Israel didn't get the big picture. Moses did get the big picture many times. Sometimes, no. But you know what? God will give you what you need to know when you need to know it. And he will give you more when you do it. Barney was talking to somebody not too long ago, and he said, you know what? Many times God just tells me to do this and I do it, and then the next step's there. I don't know how it's all going to end up. I just trust. That's humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Okay, now listen to that verse, because God's not asking us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the world. This is the Almighty God asking us to humble ourselves under Him. Why? Hey, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He can't exalt you if you don't humble yourself before Him and do things His way. See, the Word doesn't say that He will exalt you, that He may. He can't exalt you if you don't listen and obey. Me either. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm teaching this for me too. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That is real. And if you don't believe that God isn't sitting up there trying to keep us out of that snare, then you're not listening too clearly, and you're not looking around too clearly. The adversary will take you out if you give him the room. Don't give him the room. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for God's people to die young. There's no reason for us to get ripped off like that as a body of believers. Don't allow him the room. Don't allow him the room. Stay humble. Listen to God. Obey God. He's got our best interest at heart. So the lion, the devil, the evil one, he is seeing who he can fix in a trap. He's waiting. Stay out of it. Be sober. Be vigilant. That's how we stay out of it. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. Yeah, we face things. We have to deal with things. But you know what? But the God of all grace, that's the next verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. But the God of all grace establishes and makes you perfect. God's influence upon your heart is what makes you established. That's what makes you wise. Wise as serpent, harmless as dove. That's what gives you the substance that it takes sometimes to minister to people who are hurt, who the adversary did devour. You can't do it on your own. There is no way. It has to be God's ability working within you. That grace that He saw us so big to put His Spirit within us, that enables us to do the things He calls us to do. Man, oh man, what a privilege it is for us to be called. And God needs every one of us to rise up in our hearts, to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. And let Him exalt you. Let Him direct your path. We want people to see our lives and go, God, you know, that person walked with God. You know, I'm going to share this because it's true. Barney's working for our school district here. And you know what? Everybody now knows, I think probably after the first 2 months, that he's a pastor in a church. Now they don't know all that much, but they know that. And so, you know what? People come to him and they tell him their life stories, why he's delivering stuff, because somebody told them this guy knows how to help you because he knows God's word. Isn't that what you want people to think of your life when you walk around? You know? We want his divine influence to be so huge upon our meek and humble hearts that when people see us, they see the glory of God's work. They see God working in people's lives. They see people who love unconditionally, who give from the abundance of their heart so the word can move, who take care of one another, who are there during hard times, good times, happy times, bad times, joyful times. I want people to look at my life and say, there's someone that walks, and I see that God's working within her to willing to do of his good pleasure. That's what I want people to see in my life. And sometimes it's not easy, but you know what? It's possible. And every time we hit a stone wall that we think is hard and difficult, and God gets us over that wall, no matter if it's your wall or someone else's wall you're working with, you get stronger and stronger. And it is what people will see in your life. And we will be a glory to God. Isn't that what we want to be? So the next time you think of grace, don't think of grace as just, graced out. Think of grace as, man, that's God working in my heart. That's God influence in my life so that I can be a reflection of everything he is to people who look at me. Then we glorify God. Then we really appreciate the grace that we've been given. And we shine and we are joyful and we are blessed no matter what the circumstances are around us, right? Okay. God bless.